You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thanks for taking 15 minutes to join me today. We're looking at the last part of a sermon I preached a couple weeks ago in Mark chapter 7. The Lord Jesus says, as he explains this understanding to these people that were shocked to hear the Son of God proclaim that nothing entering into a man can defile him. His disciples asked him, this is Mark 7:17. His disciples asked him about this parable, and he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatever enters into a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man." Now, the New American Standard and the ESV and others, even the King James translators, puts this next part after, where it says, "This," he says, "thus purifying all foods." All foods are pure. All foods are okay for you. The Apostle Paul said, you can eat food that's been sacrificed to Satan. As long as you pray over it and give thanks to God for it, it doesn't matter. All foods are clean. Romans chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, as many places there, Mark chapter 7. Why? Because we're in a new covenant now. We're in a new time now. The old covenant, the Apostle Paul called the ministry of death. That's what we're looking at. This is the last part of this message now, the traditions of men.
Knowing what I know now, I say to you, let's keep reading for the context. And that would be verse 19. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it out of this New American Standard Bible I got here. And I'll explain to you why. Then he said, well, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when he had left the crowd and entered the house, I'm in verse 17, his disciples questioned him about this parable, and he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding too? Do you not understand that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach. And now the New American Standard says, and is eliminated, then it says this, thus he declared all foods clean. King James says, thus purifying all meats. But in the margin of the King James, the original translators wrote a little note if you had a good King James Version Bible. And it says in there, the translators believe this to mean thus purifying all foods. And also, it's not in red letters, meaning Mark is adding this for his readers to understand. I mean, it's all scripture, but Mark is speaking there, not Jesus, for that last sentence there. Thus he declared all foods clean. All right, is that Esposito twisting the Bible to mislead you? What does the Word of God say? Thus purifying all foods. I'm not here to deceive you. The Lord has made all foods clean. I mean, how many scripture verses do we have to look at to understand this? We read in Acts 10, Peter had a vision one day. Now, I'm going to skip over that. There's no need to read that now. It's plain and simple here. Everyone here understands this, that these Old Testament covenants changed. Peter sees a vision here of this sheet coming down, and a voice came to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean, or it is common." And the voice spake unto him again a second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." You and I are no longer subject to God's dietary laws. For that matter, you are no longer unclean from the outside either. Why? Because there has been a change in covenants. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 says, "Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, then what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity," look what what's the next words it says? Verse 12, what does it say? "There is also a" what? Say that. "In what? A change of the law." A change of the law. Man says there is no change in the law. The word of God says there is a change in the law. Man says there are still lots of things unclean. The Lord Jesus says nothing is unclean. Man says I'll never call that common. God says don't call everything is common. Did I say that right? What God has cleansed, you should not call common. For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change in the law. Because we have a new priest. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Okay, chapter 8 of Hebrews, verse 7. Let me read this out of the New King James now. Hebrews 8, starting in verse 7. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them," he says, "behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, well, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Verse 13. In that he says, a new covenant. He has made the first, now the New King James here has the word obsolete. The King James, I think, says old. The old covenant is obsolete now. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. One more. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, and again, one more time, I'm going to read this also out of the New King James. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 4. God doesn't change, but his covenants change. We're living in a different covenant now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. It says, "We have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God, who also has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Notice the comparison, church. Notice this. The letter and the Spirit. The letter and the Spirit. Do you see it? See Paul's comparing the two? The letter and the Spirit. The letter is the Old Testament law. The Spirit is the new covenant engraved in hearts. Look what he says. The letter kills. The letter kills. Did exactly what God's purpose was. The Old Testament, the letter is designed to drive you to your knees, to cry out to God and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? It was never designed to save you. It's designed to condemn you. That's the purpose of the law. Paul says here, it kills. It doesn't save you. Trying to keep rules can't save you. You need a deliverer. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The purpose of the new covenant is to show a new and better way in which someone else has paid the penalty for the condemnations of the old and has blazed the trail to inaugurate a new covenant in which you can stand before God as righteous. Righteous in biblical terms means accepted. It means God's gavel. Not for judgment. Puts down that gavel. Looks at you and says, those two words you're longing to hear. Not guilty. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Comes through one way. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Receiving Jesus Christ. The New Testament, the New Covenant gives life. The Old Covenant condemns you. Why would you want to live under that? You can't live under that. Verse 7. He's not done. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Notice Paul calls the old covenant a ministry of death. He says, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, then what remains is much more glorious. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that remains.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.